We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here. We have some visitors, and we are glad that you're able to come and to be with us, and we hope that you have other opportunities to be with us as we come together and we worship God. One of the things that I was looking forward to when we moved here from Texas was a little bit of snow, but I didn't think we were going to get it quite this early. The weather is a little bit cold out there, and the roads may be a little bit slick, but we have a good audience this morning. We're glad that you have come to be with us in our study of God's Word. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like for us to talk about the subject of discernment. And I hope everybody can see that. Does that look okay? I want to thank again Brother Grigsby for putting this thing up here. We kind of got it hid behind the curtain up there. And so hopefully it'll look a little bit better. I don't know if you can see that. Everybody see that? Good. Okay. We want to talk about this particular subject this morning and turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we find that the writer of the book of Hebrews says there, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I believe that one of the marks of those individuals who are children of God, that they are mature children of God, is in their ability to discern between those things that are good and those things that are evil. I believe that all of us in our time as children of God have had problems with this, that there will be something that will come up, a choice that we will have to make, and we will not be able to determine what is going to be the best course for us to take. What is going to be the best choice for us? This is something that I believe that we as Christians will experience from time to time in our life. Now, there are occasions in our life as children of God when the good is so plainly distinguished from that which is evil, we don't have any problems at all. And if that were the way that the case at all times, then if something were evil and it was standing there waving a red flag at us, then we could be able to recognize that. But that's not the case all the time. That evil disguises itself, that it makes itself look like it is good. And sometimes we have a hard time in distinguishing that which is good from that which is evil. We know some of the things that would help us to grow to spiritual maturity, such as faith in God, trust and confidence in Him, our study of the Word of God and the knowledge that is revealed through that Word, our prayer unto God and the strength and comfort that we can have through that, our steadfastness and courage and boldness in taking a stand for what is right, our worship unto God, all of these things are those which go to make up and help a person to be mature. All of these things go together. And as a result of that, there is discernment on the part of the child of God to determine what is good and what is evil. Now we recognize that as Christians, all of our choices are not going to be the right ones. That there are many factors that go into the choices that we make. In our decision-making process, there are a lot of things that may come in to color the decisions that we are going to make. There may be certain beliefs that we have in our life, and we will consider those in the decisions that we make. We would have a family or some member of the family, and we would think of that person in connection with the choice or the decision-making process that we enter into. It might be a fear of something. It might be money. It might be personal likes or dislikes. But a lot of things come in together to determine how we are going to make a decision, the choice that we are going to make. And all too often we find, in some of these things anyway, that they will blur our spiritual sight and our discernment between what is right and what is wrong, and the wisdom that we ought to have as children of God. This may be something that will leave us because of that. As a result, this is a problem that we must deal with. that we must try to overcome and to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And of course, with God's directions, we will be able to do that. We can be able to determine what is right for us to do and those things that we need to stay away from. We want to define what we mean by the term discernment. The term discernment just means to be able to see and identify by noting differences. We, as we speak in this morning concerning good and evil, or concerning our life as a child of God, then we're talking about being able to see and identify and noting differences between good and evil, between that which is right for us to do and that which is wrong. And especially when it comes to truth and error, we want to be able to note the difference. We want to be able to know what God would have us to do. You know, children play games from time to time, and I'm sure that we have seen them play these games, and it is to help them to learn to note differences between things. There will be several pictures there on a page, and they will all appear to be alike. Yet we find in one picture there, something is a little bit different from all of the rest of them. There may be four, and three of them are exactly alike. But in that fourth one, something is different. These children are trying to learn to discern. They're trying to note differences from one thing to another. And without knowledge and without experience, it's hard for them to discern those things, to note that difference. I can remember not too long ago, my children received a book. I think it was a monthly book. I can't remember the name of it. But on the back of it, on the back cover, there was this picture that simply said, "What is out of place?" And as you looked at it, you would see that there was a boy holding a kite string, and yet at the end of the kite, there wasn't a kite, there was an automobile. Or there would be an elephant up a tree. There would be something out of place. This is a way of telling or helping children to discern, to note differences. And that's what we're trying to do as children of God. Oftentimes, these children's games are played by Satan with far more damaging results than children's games are. He makes things appear to be so innocent and so pure that the person that is immature, that the person who is undiscerning will be attracted to that and think that it is not harmful for them at all, but in reality, spiritually, it is harmful for them. I think one of the things that we can see in our society is if you've ever watched any kind of sporting events on television, you realize that they're sponsored by beer companies. And these beer advertisements look so appealing, don't they? They can make them funny. They can make them look as if there's absolutely nothing wrong with them at all. But yet, for the child of God with maturity and discerning about them, they recognize that these things are not harmless. These things are not as harmless as people would make them out to be. The problem, so many times, is not in choosing between what is pleasant and unpleasant. If that were the case, it'd be easy, wouldn't it? If the choices that were there before us, if the result of those choices was pleasure or not pleasure, the decision would be easy. We would always choose that which is pleasant to us. But we've come to find out as we grow older, as we are mature, that sometimes those things that are unpleasant for us might be the very best thing for us to choose. And those things that are pleasant would be devastating to us. When we are sick, we want to recover, and we don't want to go through some unpleasant experience. Yet in taking medicine or a shot or treatment or whatever it might be, that might be the very best thing for us. And we want to get well. And so we would choose that, although it would be unpleasant. The problem is not in choosing what pleases me, but what is best for me. And of course, this is true in the spiritual sense also. As children of God, we choose not what pleases us, but what is best for us. What is the will of God in this respect? The writer of the book of Hebrews says here that by reason of use, he says that we have our senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Now the word, but what he's trying to say here is that by reason of practice, by reason of habit, of custom, of doing these things over and over again, by reason of use then, we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Long practice in the right standard will enable the Christian to discern properly. Long practice in the things that God would have us to do, in that knowledge that is revealed to us in His Word, as we practice that over a period of years, we are able to discern what is proper for us to do. As we exercise ourselves in those first principles that are taught in the Word of God, we are more easily able to recognize those things that are wrong, those plans of salvation that are not found in the Word of God. And as we exercise ourselves in these first principles, then they become habits to us. And as we grow, we are able to speak to others concerning God's plan of salvation. And we know the passages to turn to. And we may have even put them to memory because we practice them over and over and over again. We have grounded ourselves in those first principles. And it's because of a long practice in that which is right. And the longer we are guided by these principles, then the greater our power increases to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. The longer we exercise ourselves in the practices of God's commands, we make them our habits, we make them the customs in our life, then these things that might deceive an infant spiritually are easily recognized by us. And that which would deceive an infant child of God, we're able to recognize it, that we shouldn't do that. Or that would be evil for us. Or this would be the path for us to follow, because it is the Word of God. What would fool a newborn babe in Christ? Then as we grow and we exercise ourselves, we have no trouble seeing and noting that that thing is wrong. We don't need to engage in that particular habit or that particular practice. Because the Hebrew Christians had failed to exercise themselves in this way, the writer says that they were still babes in Christ. They were still infants, and they had need of milk. They had need of those very simple things whereby they should grow. It should have come to a point of where they had gained spiritual maturity. But all too often, we find that this is a problem with some Christians today, that by reason of years in the body of Christ, they should be mature. They should have exercised themselves in the Word of God to where that they can discern good from evil. But all too often, we find that that's not the case. And the problem only intensifies with these individuals when they think that, or when they have had a number of years in the body of Christ, when they have been there for a long time, and yet they are still babes in Christ. Because as a number of years would get, they would begin to think that they were full grown, that they were mature children of God, when spiritually they are still babes in Christ, because they have not exercised themselves. They think their judgment and their discernment is mature, when in reality it is not. And that makes the problem only that much harder for them to recognize. For the good of our eternal souls, we need to develop the habits of weighing matters, of discerning between that which is good and evil. We have all heard the expression that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And this is what we're talking about in this. This is what the Word of God teaches us with this idea of discernment. To be able to weigh something, to weigh a matter and realize that there is good involved or that there is evil involved. And there's a great deal of problems and heartaches that can be avoided if we will exercise ourselves in the Word of the Lord. If we will study it, and we will have the knowledge that is found there. We recognize that great men have faltered because of bad discernment, bad judgments on their part. And this is one of the things that Job writes about, and Job lets us know in Job chapter 32 and verse 9. He says that great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. We see from this that what Job is trying to tell us is that with aged individuals or great men, there is not always the best discernment there. There's not always the best judgment that is made by these individuals. And they achieve greatness in spite of their mistakes. And their greatness is diminished in direct proportion of the bad judgments that they do make in their life. We're all going to make decisions in our life that are not good. But what we strive to do from the Word of God, as Hebrews points out here, that we need to exercise ourselves, exercise our senses by the Word of God, so that we can have that discernment and know what is good and know those things that are evil. The Bible plainly points out to us that there is good and that there is evil. There's those things that are truth, there's those things that are error. And God wants us to follow that which is right. The majority of the people in this world in which we live, and especially in the society in which we live, are against any attempts whatsoever to classify something as being good or something as being evil. We see that from day to day. To most people, all moral practices are good. Most religious teaching is right. That you can do whatever you want to as long as you perceive, as long as you comprehend it to be right and moral, then you can go ahead and do that. Whatever you want to teach religiously, as long as you sincerely believe that thing, then it is right for you to do. Right and wrong, to most people in our society, is not in the deed or in the belief, but it is in the mind of that individual who is participating in that thing, or who is instructing others in that belief or practice. So what is right for one, then, many believe, may be wrong for someone else, and vice versa. And it is simply left up to the individual to determine if something is right or wrong. And this is how so many in our society want to classify good and evil, right from wrong, truth from error. It totally depends upon you. You make that determination. And in this way, we find, as we are taught, that everybody becomes a judge of themselves. Everybody decides for themselves what is good and evil, what is right or wrong. And in this, the end result is that that person becomes their own God. They set themselves up upon the throne of our Father, and they make themselves the judge of what is right and what is wrong. And in this way, then, we can see that if that is true, evil will never be chosen. Because, you see, nothing is ever evil. It all depends upon me. And my choice, then, is that whatever I do is good. And therefore, there is no evil. Evil does not exist. This is the end result of the kind of thinking that we find in our society today. That there is nothing that is wrong. There is, in essence, nothing that is immoral. But we find that certainly, this is in contrast to what we find in the Word of God. The Word of God declares unto us there are things that are good and right. There are things that are righteous. And there are things that are evil. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Now that's exactly the opposite of what we find being taught in our society today. In our society today, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, there is no right and wrong. There is no good. There is no evil, only as I perceive it. But the Word of God says that there is a way that seems right to man. There is a way that man would want to go, and it appears to be pleasant and wholesome for him, but the end thereof is the way of death. It's going in the wrong direction. It does not offer life unto man. Jeremiah 10 and 23 again. Jeremiah the prophet this time says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Again, that's exactly the opposite of the philosophy we find in our society today. That I determine what is right. That in my discernment, I can declare what is good and I can declare what is evil. The Word of God says that it is not in man who walks to direct himself. He doesn't know what is best for him. It is left up to God to determine what is right and what is wrong. We know that there are some things that are good. We also know that there are some things that are evil. If that is not the case, why are we told to avoid that which is evil? Why are we told to cling to that which is good? The penalty for choosing that which is evil, the penalty for choosing that which is bad, is going to be the same regardless of what we call it. Regardless of what we want to call that particular thing, the consequences or the end result is exactly the same. And if God says that individual who follows sin is going to be eternally separated from him, whatever we want to call sin doesn't change the consequences. You know, I can go out here at the highway, the intersection, and I can start changing those signs around. And if I take the sign that says to Xenia and I put it on South Fairfield here, and I point the sign in that direction going south saying that's going to Xenia, that doesn't put Xenia south, does it? That doesn't change the fact that Xenia is still east of here. Changing the signs is not going to do anything. People in our society believe that they can change the words. They can change the signs in the way of life that God has directed. And they can somehow change where you're going to end up. They can change the consequences. But that is not the case. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The prophet Isaiah, or God through the prophet, recognized that men were going to do this. They were doing it in that day. But that didn't change anything. That didn't change the consequences of sin. And it's not going to change the consequences of sin now. There is good and there is evil. And we have got to be able, as children of God, to discern what is good and what is evil. The right and wrong of a thing is not a matter of personal thinking, of personal choice. Truth and right are facts. They're not abstractions somewhere that we cannot grasp. Truth is the Word of God. Right is that which is revealed in the Word of God. Therefore, as a result of this, I need to change my mind to fit that which is right rather than trying to change what is right to fit me. The greatest sin that we can commit is trying to change truth to suit us rather than changing ourselves to live by that which is the truth revealed in the Word of God. God's Word plainly declares unto us that which is good and that which is evil. We can find several passages in the Word of God that let us know that there are good men. In Psalms 37 and 23, this bears this out, that there are those who are good men. There are those who are evil. Psalms 140 and verse 1. If you'd like to write these down and look them up later, the Word of God tells us they're good and there are evil. There are good works, Matthew 5 and verse 16. And there are evil works. God has plainly set these things out. There is a standard there that we live by. And we have got to use our senses. We have got to exercise ourselves so that we can discern good works from evil works. There is a good path that we are to follow, Proverbs 2 and verse 9. And there is an evil course that God has said we are not to travel in, that Jeremiah 23 and 10. There is a good name that we should desire, Proverbs 22 and verse 1. And there is a bad name or a reputation, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 19. The Word of God points these things out, and we need to recognize them. We need to exercise ourselves so that we can discern these things. There's good fruit, and there is evil fruit. Matthew 7, verses 17 and 18. There are good morals that we are to live by that are established in the Word of God. And there are evil morals. There is immorality that we are not to follow. Plainly set down in the Word of God. That is the standard. There's a good report and there's an evil report. We can see the Word of God talks about these things. There is definitely in the Word of God an establishment of that which is right from that which is wrong. It is not left up to us as individuals. It is not left up to for me to determine in my own life if something is right or wrong. I am not the God and I am not the judge. We will stand before the judge one day, give an account of the things that we have done. Therefore, we better live by what he has established as being right and wrong. There are biblical examples of discernment that we want to look at for just a moment in closing. And we would say that there are bad examples for us. And when we say bad examples, these are individuals we don't want to imitate. We don't want to be like. We want to learn something from their discernment. We want to learn something from how they exercise their senses and the end result of their life. There is the rich, foolish man that is talked about in Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 21. We remember that individual there, how he brought in a great crop. And his barns was not able to hold that, so he tore them down. And he built greater ones, and he put all of these harvests and all of these crops in those. And he sat back and he said to himself, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For you've got many things stored up for many years for you." He was an individual that had the kind of discernment that was necessary in bringing in a great, wonderful harvest, a physical crop that was his. But he did not have the discernment. His senses was not exercised to see that spiritual matters were greater than material matters. That he was going to die that very night. And all of those material things and physical things that he had, they were going to be left to someone else. He had great discernment in one area, but in another, he did not. The Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 22, in verses 15 through 22, there's a question there that is put to Christ by them concerning giving tribute unto Caesar. And they were trying to trap him in these things. They were trying to test him to see what kind of knowledge that he had. Perhaps they could find something to accuse him of. Now, these individuals, in asking this particular question, did not understand, and they were not able to discern, that loyalty to God could also mean loyalty to a government, loyalty to a state. They didn't understand that. They weren't able to discern that. They had not exercised themselves in this way, in the Word of God. Martha, in Luke 10 and verses 38 through 42, we find her here as she gets on and rebukes Mary because she is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Mary's listening to the things that Jesus had to say, and she is encumbered by so much. Martha had a choice to make, but her discernment was that she was going to choose those things that were fleeting. Those things that were temporary rather than the spiritual things. The things that were coming from the mouth of the Lord and Savior. Her discernment was in that way. It was choosing the physical. It was placing an emphasis upon that rather than upon the spiritual. There are also good examples that we are to imitate. And we need to look to them And we need to learn from them as how they had have exercised their discernment. One of those individuals is Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 24 and 25, we find a discernment on the part of Moses that is worthy for us to imitate. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." There was a choice that Moses had to make. There was that which he could do and follow Pharaoh, be called to Pharaoh's household, or he could suffer affliction with the children of God. And Moses recognized that in accepting the sufferings with the children of Israel, that there were far greater rewards for him in the long run than accepting those pleasures of sin for a season in Pharaoh's household. There was a discernment there on his part. He understood that which was right and proper for him to do. That which was wrong for him to do, he turned away from. He did not choose that. We need to imitate the kind of discernment that we see in Moses in this way, choosing that which is eternal. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says there, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Christ here is calling on us to make a choice. There is a discernment on our part here. And a lot of people fear that individual who is able to take their life. And they will make a choice to do whatever they have to do so that their life will not be taken. But Christ is trying to emphasize here, the real wisdom is in choosing to be on that side of the individual who is able to take your body and soul. Be on God's side. Make that choice. Allow your discernment to fall in that direction. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, says there, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." That individual that is wise, that individual that is prudent, that person who can discern evil from good, he will see evil and he'll hide himself from it. He'll avoid it. He will want to do that which is right. But that person that is simple, and he's talking about an individual here, that is not prudent, that is not wise, he doesn't care. He'll go on and make whatever choice he wants to make, and he'll follow his own desires, and as a result of that, he will be punished. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we find that the statement there is said concerning those at Berea, that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God, or received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Here were individuals who were discerning. They were not just simply going to listen to the things that Paul had to say, but they were going to listen to what he had to say and compare that with the word of God, because their faith was in the word of God. It was not in something that somebody said, but it was in that revealed word that had been given unto them. They looked to the Old Testament scriptures to see if the things were right or wrong. Their discernment was that they were going to establish what they believed based upon the word of God. They were going to call good, good, and evil, evil, because the word of God said that. They were going to follow the Master. They were going to follow Jesus Christ because the Old Testament scripture said that this is who he was. They looked to that as being their standard. They had exercised themselves, exercised their senses so that they would know right from wrong. And this is a sign of maturity. And those who are children of God, that they're able to discern that. Those that the writer of the book of Hebrews was writing to had been Christians long enough that they should have been able to do that. But they were not. They had not exercised themselves in the word of God to where they were able to recognize good from evil. There are many examples in the Word of God that would show us the kind of discernment that we ought to have. And we need to imitate that. We need to be able to distinguish right from wrong. And the only way that we can do that is by exercising ourselves in the Word of God, letting it be our guide at all times, never abandoning it, never saying that, well, in this matter, I'm going to decide for myself what is right or what is wrong. The Word of God has been given to direct our lives every day of our life, and we need to turn to it. Let us then exercise ourselves in the Word of God so that we might grow to maturity, so that we might be that individual who is able to discern good from evil. This is what God wants us to do as His children. He does not want us to remain babes all of our life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And the only way that we can do that is by the Word which He has given unto us. Let us then study the Word of God so that we might be able to do it. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, and won't you discern the things that He has written? Won't you understand these things to be able to distinguish what He wants you to do from what the world wants you to do? The passages are very simple for that individual that is outside of the fold of safety. That person must have faith in God, repent of their sins, turn from that which is wrong, confess their faith in Jesus Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. This is the Word of God on the matter. It's very plain. It's very simple. There's nothing here that has been added by man. This is the Word of God. Won't you do it? You understand it, I know. It's very easy, very simple to understand. But the hard part is in doing it. The hard part is in swallowing pride and being humble before God and obeying His commandments. You're here. You're subject to the invitation. A song has been selected. We're going to encourage you to do that which is right. And won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?